This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Yes, I mean, history, a good message from the start, really, is that history is kind of psychic and things come round. And in terms of my work with Action Access, I go back to Through Excellence Challenge and Partnerships for Progression. And you know, there is always an impetus and funding and drive to do wide anticipation. In fact, I can see a colleague down here who I worked with in Excellence Challenge, going back again some considerable time. For those that don't know about Action Access, we're the national coordination team for widening participation in higher education, and we're funded by the Higher Education Funding Council. We work with widening participation practitioners to promote inclusivity and diversity across the sector and fair and wide access. And at least in part, I suppose, that's in pursuit of social mobility. We should mention that at some point during the day. If you haven't come across us, do have a look at our website. It'll be on the final slide that comes up, and access our information, electronic information platform of GISMails and various other mechanisms. We've got a help desk and a data advisory service. So, you know, do make use of us. But I'm here today to talk about Aim Higher. There's a number of people here who are more intimately involved with Aim Higher than I am. But first of all, I'd like to look perhaps at some of the background. Some of the background about Aim Higher in terms of lessons and in terms of legacy, what works and why it works, some of the characteristics, some of the successes, the value added by partnerships to WP, especially locally but also nationally, because it's that that represents the legacy, and it's that which shows the lessons learned, I think. I mean, obviously partnerships will change and they'll disappear as Aim Higher funding goes, and what succeeds then will be different, but I think collectively we're all able to learn from the lessons of Aim Higher. We're able to replicate some of its delivery where it's appropriate, and we're able to develop the benefits of collaborative working and structures that it, however it's structured and delivered in the future. Aim Higher is characterised really in an obvious way by the coordination, the rationalisation and the delivery of a set of outreach activities, mostly from HEIs to schools and colleges. And descriptions of individual activities will be accessible as part of the Aim Higher legacy, which I'll come on to at the end. Outreach activities have been shown to work most effectively when they're set within a learner progression framework, and that's a sort of integrated, coherent, consistent programme of activities that's available to the learner over time and with identified discrete outcomes. And I think for me that's going to be one of the things which is perhaps most in danger of disappearing with Aim Higher. That kind of overall programme that should be on offer to learners in any particular geographical area. Aim Higher, finally, I suppose, Aim Higher works not least because partnerships are there to broker, to coordinate and to lead a range of collaborative activity which involves schools, including primary schools, involves colleges, involves universities, involves the local authorities, it involves connection services and all the other local players and planners. And again, information on this way of working will be made available through the Aim Higher legacy materials. And lastly, I propose to look at the planned and the emerging. So, thinking of Aim Higher as a national programme, there are currently 42 area partnerships, and they're very different with common characteristics. So, in a sense, there's a national programme. In a sense, there isn't a national programme. But as a national programme, it has been unique as a programme that works across all phases of education to support the progression of young people and to support the progression of young people into higher education, or at least to consider higher education. Aim Higher provides an effective and a funded brokerage for the development of a network of cross-sector relationships, of common practices and of shared values. And again, you know, we would say it's at its best and it's delivered through one of these consistent, coherent, over time learner progression frameworks. And all the evidence suggests it has been working. I mean, I've spoken to two or three people over the break about this. It seems very bizarre. There's a significant and rising associated percentage increase in participation over the last 5 or 6 years from people from disadvantaged backgrounds. And, you know, Aim Higher has had an effect on making that happen. Secondly, area partnerships. Aim Higher has developed as a set of loosely networked sub-regional or area partnerships, and its emphasis and its success has in many ways been local. And because partnerships are developed locally, They've all been able to reflect and to build on local characteristics and strengths and on pre-existing structures and programmes. So it's not a new thing, it's not a parachuted in thing. And they've brought a targeted consistency of delivery to learners. And they've provided that rationalised interface between HEIs and school and colleges, which we've been talking about earlier, as well as providing a cost-effective delivery. Aspiration, attainment and progression are perhaps the three legs or three aims of Aim Higher. Aim Higher activities are designed to raise aspiration, so it's been there to bring HE to the learner's attention, to let them experience it, and to encourage and guide them to apply to it. It seeks to raise attainment through masterclasses, summer schools, revision classes, and the motivation of learners, so that learners actually have the qualifications to enter HE. And it focuses on progression through building relationships between schools and HEIs, through supporting the development of things like compacts and passports and other initiatives, particularly through the provision of information, advice and guidance, which has been wanting elsewhere, and from its activities as a whole. Fourthly, it's important to remember that Aim Higher is a WP initiative, and it is very precisely aimed and targeted at learners from low-income families, from low-participation schools and neighbourhoods, and families who have got no or little history of accessing higher education, i.e. it's not worked with a whole school cohort. And alongside these broad socio-economic target groups, there have been specific targets of groups such as disabled learners, those in or leaving care, learners from some black and minority ethnic backgrounds, and also travellers and refugees in some areas. Again, because it's been a local or an area partnership, it's been able to respond and develop programmes that reflect the characteristics of the people in its area. And this kind of targeted approach is precisely what's required of HEIs now in their outreach work, including collaborative outreach work, which would be more challenging, as it's planned, delivered and reported through the access agreements and through the continuing WPSAs, or WPSIs, depending on what you call them in your area, the widening participation strategic assessments. And again, this is that information that will be accessible through the Aim Higher legacy materials. Fifthly, I suppose, Aim Higher partnerships, by name and by definition, are a collaborative venture. And although there is a lead manager or director and a central team, bigger or smaller according to the size of the partnership, it works because schools, colleges, local authorities, higher education providers and other local or regional players, all with differing and sometimes competing objectives, have been brought together in pursuit of a common goal. And that common goal has been to widen participation in higher education. And finally, for this slide, funding. Importantly, each partnership's had a pot of money to make things happen, so partners will come to the table. Coordinated central activity can be paid for, and programme activities can be paid for. And money in some ways is king and queen. In terms of outreach activities, again, on the screen you can see some of the main activities. The activities that have been evidenced to work, and which again will be available through the Aim Higher legacy materials. Campus visits, masterclasses, summer schools mentoring, ambassadors and associate programmes. There's been a separate, very successful programme within Aim Higher called the Aim Higher Associates Programme, which was separately funded and has been running in the last 3 years. And that's been one of the few programmes that's actually been common to all partnerships and delivered in a very similar way across all partnerships, as opposed to more locally developed delivery. And it's proved a most effective model. Again, all the information from that will be available for HEIs and others to pick up. There has been a discrete healthcare strand, and that's partly been funded by Aim Higher money and partly by the NHS. And that's been quite extensive in some areas. And again, there are indications that that's set to continue with additional funding from the NHS in some areas too. Aspiration, attainment and progression. It's important to develop and provide staff development opportunity for teachers, for tutors, for colleagues in HEIs, as the people who are in daily or activity contact with these learners must be appropriately trained if the programme's to be effective. And again, there are many, many different outreach activities delivered by Aim Higher partnerships, some to specific target groups, for example, primary school children, vocational students, looked after children, and other activities such as revision classes, junior university experiences, subject-based experiences, such as Professor Winston showed earlier. I'm glad I'm not showing any of those kind of videos. And support in making applications to university as well. And again, all that sort of information will be gathered together and used, hopefully. Moving quickly, the what are the actual characteristics of the partnership itself that's made it effective in delivering collaborative outreach work and makes it effective now? And what might be some of the lessons and legacy from AIM Higher in that regard? What might work in the future? Well, in terms of, there's always been an area partnership committee within each area, and on that, all the local players are represented, and they all have a voice in the provision, the planning and the delivery of what goes on. And each area, as a manager or a director, play an important role of coordinating, brokering and ensuring the delivery of that activity. And it's an activity which does go across all schools, including primary, colleges, training providers, universities, local authorities, connection services and the other local players and planners within the partnership. So we shouldn't diminish the role of the partnership leads. It's been very important. I think there's been someone there to take responsibility. Someone who knows and talks with all the partners. Someone who knows the local dynamics. Someone who can broker and cajole as well as contribute to the national picture and the reporting up to HEFCE on the programme as a whole. I mean, thirdly, I suppose there are different models have evolved because it's a sub-regional model, as you would expect. And there's been a continuum there from a very centralised model where the partnerships hold the money and where schools and colleges buy activities that are centrally coordinated, through to partnerships with a minimum central management activity and a programme that devolves the funding and activity to schools and colleges. Evaluation reports have indicated that a mixed delivery between the two models seems to work best, so that there's indications there of ways things might be developed. Again, just to reiterate, AIM Higher has been an area-based programme. That's one of the strengths. So as partnerships develop locally, they're built on local characteristics, local strengths and pre-existing structures to provide an effective programme that was owned really by the local HEIs, the local schools and colleges. And it gave associated economies of scale and a more coordinated approach to schools. Not many people hear from schools, but often the claim from schools is all and sundry are asking them to do things, asking them to take students out, asking them to set things up. The learner progression, IAG is again, AMI partnership has identified there's a dearth of good IAG nationally, but especially locally, and they've stepped into the gap there. And they produce really important leaflet-based information, website-based information, covering a wide range of progression information. And much of that is able to, again, to talk specifically about local conditions and about local opportunities and to give local contact details. So, again, that's been an important something important to kind of pick up. The learner progression framework I've mentioned earlier, but that's been deployed by many partnerships and it gives a rationalising and a cohesive structure to the activities of partnerships, and that signposts and it maps a journey for the learner with specific outcomes along the way. It's difficult to see how that would be maintained, certainly initially at least, with some of the ways that partnership structures are emerging. And it's always proved difficult, finally, really, with evidence that particular activities have given rise to particular results. But nevertheless, and again, it seems strange that the current government hasn't taken it on board, there is a good body of evidence of the impact that at least strongly associates the activities of AIM Higher to demonstrate improved knowledge, improved motivation, improved attainment, and improved participation by the target groups in those AIM Higher areas. But again, there'll be some more information on that available to HEIs. The AIM Higher legacy, turning to the legacy. We all recognise, again, it's been mentioned several times before and it's mentioned at every conference, that we're in a period of high budget uncertainty along with substantial cuts to various partners. And despite a substantial and significant goodwill from all partners, the picture at the moment in areas is still at the emergent stage. And some of that has been described again from the front this morning. The coalition government's handed primary responsibility for outreach work over, or arguably back, to HEIs, but they're facing a year without additional funding. And they're working through widening participation and access agreement operational planning in their institutions, and that's within a whole institutional planning, which is looking at managing cuts and in certain uncertain changed fee structures. HE likely partners in local areas are facing their own related struggles. Local authorities and schools are losing posts. Schools are looking at the pupil premium funding and wondering how far it can be stretched. Connection services are being cut back. Colleges are experiencing reduced funding. But despite these facts, Aim Higher Partnerships and HEIs in many areas and localities are busy plotting their own course within their own histories. So again, taking up this sub-regional or area identity. Some HEIs are already working together, and we've heard examples of that. And elsewhere, HEIs and Aim Higher Partnerships are working together to provide all sorts of collaborating outreach activities. And a recent action and access analysis revealed that current activities have been described as consultations, as planning exercises, as feasibility studies. So it's still in that emergent phase. But a number of area structures are coming into play, although most, it has to be said, seem to have expectations of a considerable reduction in the scope and the capacity of what they can deliver, at least initially, and certainly over this coming year. Models are emerging. Some partnerships seem to be emerging that are very like an Aim Higher model, but seeking funding from other sources. HE models, again, one's been described to provide collaborative outreach work, and they will be picking up things like data sharing, mentoring, IAG, passport days, work with apprenticeships and work-based learners, looked after children, and so on. And those HEI models are working specifically in some cities, specifically in some areas or sub-regions, and sometimes across regions themselves. And again, there are more strategic models emerging, and clear plans for structure and funding is also kind of coming forward, where they're using university funding, university sponsorship, school contributions from pupil premium, looking at a paid-for service, looking at subscription models, and looking at kind of social enterprise and charitable status solutions. There will be old partnerships are leaving a local legacy, which seems to be called toolkits of information about much of their activity and resource. So IAG materials, publications, project descriptions, etc. And these will be lodged with HEIs. Thirdly, there are momentum models, if you like, where established structures and processes will continue to find funding and to continue working through interest groups. So they are picking up particular pieces of work with looked after children, with gifted and talented groups, with healthcare strand programmes, with IAG programmes, and interestingly, one or two with adult participation programmes. So what is working currently is being picked up. The activities that Aim Higher has been delivering, I mentioned them before, mentoring, masterclasses, etc. There will be a large database of these individual activities, which has been developed by Aim Higher Partnerships. And these will be available for HEIs and others to consult and use. It's currently being gathered from partnerships and coordinated by Action and Access and will be made available on a website. And the place for that yet has not been agreed. There will be a set of resource packs covering more complicated matters than straightforward activities. And these are currently going to be prepared but may not be available till after the summer. And they'll provide comprehensive information on the following themes: information, advice and guidance, targeting, collaborative partnerships and how and why they work, monitoring and evaluation, working with specific target groups, and progression frameworks. Thirdly, the national data sets. The funding council's in the process of gathering together various data sets, particularly on the learners of Pass Through Aim Higher. This is quite arcane to me, really, and will doubtless give information to the council's data crunchers and to those of you who find and understand data better than I do. And fourthly, really, there's Action Access will be working with the Funding Council and with continuing partnerships and new collaborative groupings of HEIs to create a self-supporting network. And we will obviously be working to support the sector on WP as we have over the last 10 years. Summing up then, it's a mixed story to tell. The funding for the Aim Higher programme finishes July 31st, although there will be some residual work going on in the areas. There's substantial and significant goodwill from all existing partners to continue collaborative outreach work that's targeted on learners from low-income families, from low-participation neighbourhoods and with little or no history of accessing higher education. AIM Higher offers a massive legacy and has been adding great value to widening participation locally. And although the landscape as a whole is dominated by cuts and policy uncertainty, HEIs and AIM Higher partnerships are busy plotting their own course within their own histories. Some HEIs are already working together locally, some HEI and AIM Higher partnerships are working together, and there are one or two other interesting local authority or school-based models that are kind of raising their heads. And in fact, a number of area structures are beginning to come into play. So there will be a body of information on effective activities and resources to inform this activity, and it will be web-based and it will be searchable. Coalition government's handed over responsibility to HEIs, but they're able to build on a fantastic legacy in outreach activity. I think to some extent HEIs may have been, not guilty, but may have handed over some of their work in outreach work to AIM Higher as it was being so effective in their local area. And certainly the WUPSs indicate that they've seen a lot of their outreach work to be working through AIM Higher partnerships. So collectively we're able to learn from the lessons from AIM Higher, to replicate this delivery where it's appropriate, and to benefit from the collective experience of its partnership working and its brokerage role. The final screen really shows some of the drivers and funding streams and programmes for HEIs, which will underpin the development of outreach and collaborative outreach and widening participation work in the future. So I don't propose to talk about them, but thank you very much for listening. And that's our website if people want to have a look and see what's on there.